This is a FUBAR Radio podcast. Go to FUBARradio.com for more details. Spoiler alert on FUBAR Radio.
That's right, it's a brand new edition of Spoiler Alert. This is episode 25, July.
I like that number, 25. Yeah. Yay! Anyway... Yes.
Welcome to Spoiler. I am Adamantium, Adam Johnson. I am also joined by my lovely co-hosts, Claire Lim.
Yay, hello.
And Richard Edwards
hello
from
there.
SFX Magazine.
Hello.
How's it going?
Oh, sorry. I've gone a little bit distant, haven't I?
Yeah, it's fine.
Okay, yeah. Yeah, no, all good. Yeah, very good.
Busy
yeah.
month. You've been to Casa.
Yes, it has been an absolute busy month. Last time we was in the same room together, I was on...
On your way.
I was on my way to Canada.
But you didn't want to come back.
No, I didn't. Like, it was so nice over there.
Did you do anything geeky while you were there?
No, not really. I mean, we did, like, a couple of those sightseeing tours, and they was talking about, like, all the films and stuff that are filmed in, obviously, Toronto, because Toronto and Canada is now sort of the hub of where everything is being filmed. Vancouver as well.
Deadpool was filmed there, wasn't it?
Yes.
And also The X-Files was filmed in Canada.
That was filmed in Vancouver.
Yeah.
Toronto was filmed. Toronto had...
I think
the Batman films, the Christian Bale ones, they were filmed there.
Suicide Squad, I think.
Yes, that's right.
So, I think X-Men Apocalypse was there.
Yeah.
Ah.
And then we went past a newspaper place. I can't remember what they're called. Do they still exist, newspapers? I don't know. I've never picked one
yes,
up.
Yes,
right.
They do.
So, yeah, it was a newspaper, and in there was apparently the guy that created Superman.
Oh.
Inspired, like, Metropolis was inspired by Toronto.
Oh, wow.
So it was
really, it's a beautiful city.
Yeah, it
beautiful.
Was.
Beautiful.
And so that was sort of my geeky holiday. That was about it for the geekiness. It was a lot of sightseeing.
Were you with your parents?
Yeah, I was with my parents and my family. We were seeing extended family that we have over in the States, over that sort of side of the world. It was really, really nice. Come back with a little bit of a tan, which is now gone, because it was really nice over there. Hot.
You got a tan.
Yeah, it was hot and sunny, unlike over here, where it's miserable and cold, and we're no longer part of the EU.
Well, it feels like the apocalypse is upon us.
It is pretty end of days.
Yeah, it's the end of days. Let's keep it positive and not talk about our post-apocalyptic political circumstances. What have you been up to, Richard? You're very busy at the moment.
Oh, yeah, always busy. But just been on holiday to Cornwall, which not quite as glamorous as Canada. No Niagara Falls or anything.
But lovely.
Yes.
Peaceful. Home of Rick Stein, and I love him.
Yes. I didn't see him, though.
Yeah, sorry. No. Well, then that's not a holiday in Cornwall.
Oh, just a wasted a week.
A wasted week? If you're not going to Rick Stein's restaurant, a wasted week. And what else have you been up to, like, work-wise, then? Because you've got San Diego coming up.
San Diego Comic-Con on Wednesday. So, yeah, getting ready for that, though. That kicks off on Wednesday, so fly out on Tuesday. Star Wars Celebration coming up at the weekend.
Nice.
Well, actually, in hours. It's starting while we're recording. And, just watching what I can and, you know, just sort of cramming in.
Yeah.
What about you, Claire? How's your month been?
I've kind of been on the lowdown, but I went to go see the latest Conjuring film, which was great fun, and I've been really obsessed with Wayward Pines. Like, I think it's brilliant.
I need to get into that.
It's really hammy, but it reminds me of a lot of kind of really hammy sci-fi from back in the day, like when I was younger, so it's nothing serious. Couldn't get into Preacher, kind of stopped at about the third episode, but I'm going to go back to it.
See, now, I've been watching Preacher. Have you been watching Preacher?
Not yet.
Okay, so I've been watching Preacher and Outcast.
Outcast.
So I've given up on Outcast.
Mm.
I've not been feeling it. Preacher, I'm hooked on.
I kind of, like, stopped with Outcast where Brent Spiner came into it.
Yeah.
And I thought, who are you? Because I'm not up to date with the comics. I've only read Volume 1, which is pretty much almost the first episode of Outcast. And then, I don't know, like, I've just really not been that much into it. Like, I'm really feeling Wayward Pines because it's so daft. And I think when you're working all day and you're just really stressed, you just want to watch something crap.
Yeah.
So, which is great fun. But I haven't seen Independence Day.
Oh, no, I've seen Independence Day.
I have as well.
Yeah? Rubbish?
It's okay.
It's okay?
See, I didn't like it.
I mean, I'm not saying it's good. By no stretch of the imagination is it good.
But well, it is what it is.
Yeah, I mean, you don't go in expecting Shakespeare, you know, because it's not that.
No aliens got punched in the face in this one? No?
It doesn't spring to mind. No. I mean, the thing that it lacks from the original is that that was basically lots of landmarks being blown up. There were lots of iconic images. And it was very much set in our world. This, because it's imagining it's 20 years on from the original movie, and they've got loads of alien technology. It's not quite the world that we live in. And the way the aliens come back isn't quite as exciting as it was first time around. And their plan is almost too big.
It does
have its moments. Jeff Goldblum's great.
Yeah, Jeff Goldblum's great, and
he's pretty much Goldblum in every film. Yeah. He's just pure Goldblum.
The Hemsworth.
Liam?
It's A. Hemsworth.
A Hemsworth.
It is Liam.
Young Hemsworth.
Yeah. The youngest Hemsworth was good in it as well.
Oh, okay.
I guess he just had to turn up and be slightly rebellious pilot.
Yeah.
It was very good.
Because I watched Independence Day, actually, the first one was on TV a few days ago. And I thought, I'll watch that again, because it's actually one of my favorite, like, I know there's a lot of really shit 90s awesome action films, but that is one of my favorites, actually. I do like that, amongst True Lies and all those daft ones. But I just really love Independence Day. It's like a modern-day B-movie for me, and I just really enjoy it. But my husband kept saying, he's just like, I'm not sure, it's so bad, I'm not sure. Like, he was a bit older when that came out of the cinema, so he was more aware, whereas I was like 12, 13 years old, so I was right in that mode. But I really want to see it. I don't want to see Ghostbusters. I think I'll just wait until that comes on Sky or something. Are you going to the cinema?
I want to go see it in the cinema. What about you, Richard?
I'm definitely going to see it. Yeah, I would have seen it already, but as I say, back on holiday on Wednesday, and they screened it really late for press.
Yeah.
So
is that strategic so that...
Well, I mean, there was an embargo till everything pretty much the day before it came out.
Right, okay.
This does often happen. Though the reviews have been pretty positive. I guess they were playing safe, really, because there's been so much negativity about the film, you know, just completely unjustified, you know, that it's been trolled like no one else, and most dislikes ever on YouTube for the trailer. I think that they probably decided it's no point sort of putting this out beforehand, you know, and allowing for more bad buzz. But obviously people have liked it, you know, the reviews have been average to good. So, you know, hopefully it's going to do well. And I always thought it would be a good movie. It was never going to be a bad movie.
No, I don't think it was going to be as awful as people were thinking. But I didn't think it was going to be the best ever. And I think folk that are nostalgic for their childhood or whatever, this isn't really a film for them, really. I mean, I love Ghostbusters. It's not a film for me anymore. And if it gets kids into the franchise, I think that's a really good thing.
I'm not even sure it matters about the franchise. I mean, the thing is, the fact that this film has been made does not affect in any way the two movies that existed before. Mm. It doesn't, you know, if you don't like this film, it's not going to affect your enjoyment of watching Bill Murray in the first one. You can just see it as a completely different universe. Yeah. It's like having a recast Star Trek. You know, that they exist completely.
Parallel.
Yeah, you know, and Chris Pine never tried to play Kirk like William Shatner did, because that would be a bad move.
Yeah.
No one could do that. Not even Shatner, probably.
Exactly.
But whereas with Ghostbusters, yeah, I mean, they've just started again. You know, obviously it's a good idea that has legs, so they've done it completely differently. It is, you know, if it changes how you feel, it's like the prequels of Star Wars didn't destroy Star Wars.
No.
Yeah, exactly. I don't like the director or the cast, and that's just the only reason why I'm not going. That is just a pure logical reason. It's like, don't like the director. I don't, famously, just don't like his films. So I figured, if I don't like his films, then I might not like this, so we'll just wait. But I don't think it's going to be that bad.
No.
Like, it just won't. It's ludicrous. Quite frankly, it's the most divisive film of the year. Like, and it's not even really, it's just come out, basically. Yeah. Ridiculous. What have we got coming up next?
Should we talk about Game of Thrones quickly? Because we haven't spoke about the season finale of Game of Thrones. Now we can definitely spoil it. It's been ages since it was aired.
And I kind of feel like I was reading so much about the theory of R plus, what is it? The theory equals J, so is it? R plus L equals J.
Yeah.
So I read this like online like for weeks and weeks. So when the actual episode happened, I was like, oh, but not to say that I didn't enjoy it. I just feel the internet spoils things sometimes.
So this is the theory that Rhaegar, the Mad King's son, kidnapped Ned's sister. Lyanna.
Or she eloped with him.
And they had a child, which then could be, is, John.
It's not just a rumour anymore. Basically, HBO confirmed it.
But that was sort of, my brother has, I've not read the books yet. They're sitting on a shelf waiting for me to be read. But apparently that's sort of clarified in the first couple of pages of that book, of the first book. It's sort of really there, plain as day, but everyone's just sort of glossed over that when they're making the TV series.
And did you guys enjoy the overall season? Because it's now untethered as away from the book.
I thought it was a great season.
Yeah, I thought so too. Loved it. Like, there was a few bits where I was sort of, where's this going? Like the Hound returning.
Yeah!
I was sort of like, that is great. I love the Hound coming back, but I just sort of, well, by the end of it, it was like, what was the point of him coming back? I didn't.
Oh, he's got more to do. He's got to go and have a fight with his brother, hasn't he?
Oh, that's true.
That's going to be a good fight.
That's it.
And he met Lovejoy.
Oh yeah.
He was in that weird cult for a while. He was like just hanging out in this little farm cult.
He was a nice guy, wasn't he? Yeah. Oh, that was so sad. I know, but that's also fired up the Hound though, because the Hound actually now had a friend. Which has never really happened before.
Little companion, like little buddy. Now, so we Hound versus Mountain at some point. And I quite like the Cersei getting ready and her I was reading online that her outfit sort of reflecting her father's outfit when he was in power kind of thing. And I thought those little touches were really good. I thought it kind of came together really well. Now we've got a whole load of queens, actually.
Yep.
Yeah.
And not very many kings.
I was hoping they were going to make Sansa the queen of the north. And obviously they kind of shifted the where that went and made it, you know, they all got behind Jon Snow.
But she said, I don't know, like she's... There was a moment where she's sort of looking at Littlefinger and then there's just this... I don't think she's going to end up with him by any means.
And I don't think she's particularly happy that Jon Snow's kind of usurped her.
Yeah, because she's a true... I mean, he's a true Stark, I guess, as well, like, by blood, I suppose. But I don't know, like, I like the way that Sansa's story went through this season, because I think she's had a bit of a rough ride, frankly. And... she just kind of, and she won that Battle of the Bastards pretty much.
Yeah. Well, the tours here, you've actually had finally that you feel like a tide has turned a little bit. And almost at the point where, you know, you've got some good people in a bit of an ascendancy. Mm. You know, look at what happened. You know, Ramsay's gone.
Yes. Oh my God. And what a great end.
It was.
So satisfying.
That was good.
I saw this meme online, who let the dogs out? It's just like, it's amazing. I need to share it on your walls. But it was like so satisfying. And just as she walks away, just her smirking sort of like.
Oh, that was very well done.
Yeah. He's so good. She's brilliant. And Arya at the end. I mean, she kind of came out of nowhere, so she travelled quite quickly over to where she'd
be. Well, actually, one of the writers has said, because a lot of people have said, it's like they teleport around Westeros, and he says, actually, the timing in each episode isn't necessarily together.
Right.
So, in order for the drama, you know, you don't want to have like loads of episodes where someone's just on a boat.
Yeah.
So that they probably say, you know, they're not necessarily happening exactly the same time.
Yeah, and a lot of people have been questioning why Varys was with the woman.
Queen of Thorns.
But it turns out, but basically at the end you see Khaleesi sailing off to Westeros with like a million boats.
Yeah,
she's now got an army in Westeros.
She's got the Ironborn with her as well.
Some of the Ironborn.
Oh yeah, because they're split.
Because there's a split because of the dude from Borgen. Yeah.
Oh, he's so annoying. I quite like the way that they've gone as well. I quite like the interaction between those two characters. Can't remember the Ironborn Queen. Can't remember her name is.
Yes.
Greyjoy.
Yeah. Greyjoy.
Theon, Greyjoy, and Lyara.
We could say.
Yeah.
One of them.
I've learned never to learn their names because they'll be dead. By the time I've learned their names, they're dead.
Well, I loved the way she was flirting with Daenerys. That was amazing.
Yeah, the little kind of like, and Daenerys like, I'll take this, but yeah, whatever.
Apparently, that was just like, all came on set. It wasn't actually scripted.
I love it. She's really, really, really good. And I just thought we were just like, raping and pillaging, that's what we've done all of our lives. Like, she's so good at playing that character. She's really coming to her own as well. So I kind of feel like there's a lot
Yara.
Of really... That's it, Liara.
Yara, just Yara.
Oh, Yara. Yara yeah. Greyjoy, that's it. There's so many strong characters coming to the fore now, so who knows what's going to happen next season.
I also thought this was a great season because after they got the whole Jon Snow is alive. What? Out of the way, which is the worst kept secret ever. And it was just such an anticlimax. So let's get it out of the way. You actually felt like they weren't concentrating on adapting books now. They were making a good TV series. And, you know, the speed they went.
Yeah.
You know, the amount of revelations they've done. I mean, there was a whole thing about Hodor, which was so sad. But what a revelation.
Interesting as well. That whole warging into other people.
Yeah.
The past, the present, and Bran's involvement in the whole world.
Mm.
It's very interesting, actually, because I wasn't interested in him at all until this season. So I'm really excited. I've loved it. I've spoken to a few people, though, who have not enjoyed it as much, actually. They're wrong, obviously. But they're just a bit like, oh, no, I like the pacing of the other... But I quite liked how they've just gone bang, but like every episode... It doesn't have to be like that all the time, but I think we need to hurry it along a little bit. And
but at the same time, there have actually been some really good episodes that haven't been all about action. I think episode 8, you just had these really cool sort of scenes between, just a couple of characters. It was a really good scene between Jaime and Brienne.
Yes.
And it's like, I'll kill you if I need to, but, you know, you just got the sense of two friends.
Yeah.
And, you know, it really does... the quiet moments well, and then it comes into the Battle of the Bastards, and it's just this amazing sort of movie style sort of battle. And, Jon Snow's actually he's a rubbish general.
He's really crap.
He's
like,
terrible.
Really crap. Like, he was actually like he was flailing quite badly quite early on, and I often get quite frustrated with Jon Snow because I don't mind him as a character, but he's so like his little forlorn face. What's going to happen next? And Sansa just came on with like, and she's just like, yeah, like, you know, so I'm here now. I'm going to win it for you. Like, he was just like flailing around, stuck in a sea of bodies kind of thing. But yeah, I will see what happens with Jon Snow. I like him to be, I feel Sansa is in a stronger position character-wise than Jon Snow is. Now, I think everyone was going, is he alive? Is he alive? Is he dead? Is he alive? And I'm not that bothered. I think they're in more interesting characters now.
I think the biggest issue, though, is whether Brienne and Tormund get together.
Oh,
Because he's really keen.
Yeah.
I mean, he...
Did you see the things that popped up online? The little kind of, like him in the background kind of thing. Like, all right. I thought he was going to die, actually, at one point.
Yeah, I did.
But now he's maybe his love for Brienne had kept him going.
Fingers crossed.
Yeah, I'd like to see. Yeah, because she's just like, yeah, whatever. But
you know, he's just bringing out this sort of soft side in Tormund. It's lovely.
I quite see again. It's all those little small interactions I think which have made this season quite enjoyable.
Yeah,
but it's been brilliant. I think the verdict is a huge thumbs up for this season.
And only 13 episodes left apparently because they're going to do
the whole thing.
Yeah, the two seasons, 7 and 6 probably.
No.
But I was actually thinking that at the end, though, is there that much story left to tell? Because they've cleared up a lot, so it's really going to be what happens in King's Landing, and obviously Cersei's lot facing off against Daenerys, and then they're going to have to meet Jon Snow. But then there's going to have to be some big unified force, I guess, with some dragons taking on the White Walkers.
I think sometimes with really, really popular... shows like this, the mistake is that the writers go on and on and on, and actually probably maybe all of us as fans may go, oh no, I want to watch it forever, but it might become a bit rubbish. So.
I think they're right to have an endpoint, and they must be knackered.
Yeah,
I mean just reading one of the books. I mean, imagine to adapt it. How many times do you have to read the book, and how long does it take to read one of George R. R. Martin's books?
Can you imagine? But I'm looking forward to seeing where it's going.
Yeah.
I think it's going to be good. Kind of good that they've got an end point. Kind of like when Lost said that they kind of went, this is the end point, although it was controversial at the end.
Oh, well, the writers wanted to end it a lot sooner, I think. It was more Disney wanting to
kind of like
make more Lost.
Spread it, like, kind of out. But yeah, no, I think it's better when they do that, although we will mourn its passing. So what have we got next, Adam?
So we've got Paul Flannery coming up very soon.
Great.
He is in the new... what is it? It's sort of like an immersive theatre experience.
Yeah, it's like...
Nightmare.
It's called the MMORPG show. So I'm looking forward to asking what that actually stands for.
And it's massively just multiplayer player online role-playing game.
Oh, well done. We need some kind of clapping sound, Adam. Oh, you need to get some effects going.
I do. So we're going to play a quick track, and then we're going to go over some geek news, and then we're going to get Paul Flannery in.
Excellent.
The sun fell down. It kept it going.
You might think, if you don't know where that song came from, I've been watching a new TV series on Amazon Prime called Braindead, which is a political comedy, sci-fi-ish as well, about alien bugs that crawl inside politicians' heads and make them...
Oh, I saw something about this. Is it good?
Isn't this like just reality?
Yeah. Yes, I'm starting to suspect that art is imitating life, but we're not going to talk about politics.
No, it's
just speculation about the world. I'm not getting political. Okay, I'm just pondering. I think, you know, throwing it out there.
Yeah, just that perhaps. Who knows?
Anyway, but next time you see your MP, ask him. Check out the slug in the brain.
Kind of like check his ears. So what we got now?
So we've got time for some of this.
Geek News.
Now, with Star Trek just coming out, well, it'll be out this month, 22nd of July, it'll be out in cinemas worldwide.
Everywhere.
There was a story that came across my desk of Sulu, the character from the Star Trek films, as being coming out as gay in the film. Now, and George Takei kind of had a bit of a problem with that.
Well, I think he did an interview with someone I read online, and he as I guess some journalists may do, they picked out words. What George Takei was trying to say was he felt that it's a shame that that being LGBT had to be retrofitted. Not that it was a bad thing that Sulu was going to be a gay character in the movie, but just a shame that they couldn't maybe have made a new character, because he felt that those characters are what they are. They're mm-hmm. solidly in the Star Trek universe, and perhaps it'd be more impactful for our newer character to come in and start afresh. But seemingly John Cho, who now plays Sulu, called up George and they had a conversation, and George said his advice to him was, don't make it like you know this is a new thing. Act like a character who has been gay for a long time, that this is it, and there's no big deal, and so it's not like a thing. It's not like, oh my god, he's out the closet now, because that's been done and dusted. Well, you know,
I spoke to a reviewer on another show here, and he was telling me about the scene, and all it is, it's more like just such a throwaway thing, that it's just Sulu walks off in the very first opening minutes of the film with his partner and puts his hand around his waist, and it's sort of like a duff of the cap, like a little nod saying like,
yeah, like it's just his lifestyle, and it's not like, hey guys, I'm gay. And I think that a lot of, you know, now we're entering a period of like things like this are no big deal. Female characters and strong roles, LGBT characters, characters of lots of different races and religions shouldn't be a big deal. It shouldn't have to be that you're like, oh, he's coming out. It's like, it should just be, that's part of his lifestyle. And I think it's quite nice that Simon Pegg and Justin Lin have written this in, because Gene Roddenberry, creator of Star Trek, his whole idea for Star Trek was to have this universe where everybody was from every walk of life, and they were always quite groundbreaking. And I know obviously the interracial kiss is always mentioned, but that caused ratings to plummet back in the day, because they couldn't show it in the South and in America. And so I think it's like a nice little nod to that universe. It's like, yeah, everyone, they're making it more inclusive for everyone.
Well, that's it. And, you know, Star Trek has always been about being inclusive, you know.
Yeah.
And but they've never had a gay lead character.
No.
And, you know, I think from what Simon Pegg said, they thought it was very important to do. They didn't want to do it with a new character, just because they were worried that if they did it with a new character, it would be, oh, he's the gay character or she's the gay character. Whereas if it's Sulu, an established character who just happens to be gay, don't make a big thing about it. Now, which is something that Doctor Who's always been very good at.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you have characters who are just in the background. You just see, you know, an old couple or something, and they're just there. You know, no one's sort of shouting about it. It's just, you know, these people are here, and
it's,
you know,
part of life now.
Exactly. And you know, I think Simon Pegg, I think the choice to make Sulu the character was very, very much a tribute to George Takei, who has been, you know, a very, very big campaigner for LGBT rights.
Mm-hmm.
You know, really, they wanted to sort of celebrate him. So I think it's been, a lot has been blown out of something. Basically, I think everyone has got entirely the best interests. You know, it's all been done with very noble ideals.
Yeah.
Everyone has said has been done with noble ideals. And there's just a slight little bit of disagreement on that it's happened. I mean, I think a lot of what George Takei said is more that, you know, the character as Gene Roddenberry created him was not written as gay, and they were just, oh, you've shifted him over. Sorry, that's a really bad bit of phrasing. But, so you've changed the character, which, you know, you shouldn't necessarily do. But, you know, characters evolve. It's a 50-year-old universe. If you look at the inconsistency in canon, anything 50-year canon, there are inconsistencies,
oh,
and things evolve all the time. You know, if you look at comic books, I mean,
exactly.
You know, just let it go. It's all been done for nice reasons.
Exactly. And I think it suits our times. Like what Gene Roddenberry did back in the day suited, I mean, at every point Star Trek has gone with the vibe of the times. And nowadays, like, being LGBT and in the media, and it should be like a thing. It should just be normal. Like,
that's it.
Female characters in movies of old franchises should just be normal. It shouldn't, you know. And I hope in 50 years' time that people look back and go, God, that was a really Neanderthal way to look at things. Why were people so bothered about that? And it will hopefully be like that. Why are people bothered about that character being Muslim and that character being gay and that character being female? Because it's daft. Is really daft. But I think it is a nice nod to the Roddenberry universe.
I mean, I suppose the fact that it's got so many headlines shows that there is a lot of how much catching up there still is to do.
Oh, God, loads.
You know, and it shouldn't have to be an issue, but it is, and you still don't get very many lead characters who are gay.
Not at all.
In movies.
Or they're always the gay character, yeah. And it's a standout character. It's like, oh, they're gay, they're really camp, and they're gay. And it doesn't have to be like that, you know. And you're right, I think there is a long way to go, sadly. But hopefully the media, like, or, you know, I think the creatives always lead the way, art always leads the way, and it just takes everyone else to follow. Think about where we were 30-odd years ago.
Oh, even 15, 10, 15.
Exactly. Yeah, God, yeah, even when I was in school, like, there's, you know, films or programs or whatever, and it's just some quite inappropriate things, or there's, like, you know, words, like, even when I was at school, like, if you would say, oh, it's totally gay, you know, and that's, you know, things like that, and you can't really say that now, you know, and there's things like that. I think we've come a long way, and I think it's a good thing. I celebrate it. I celebrate all diversity, so I don't think it's going to affect the bloody film, for Christ's sake. No. It's just, like, it's what it is.
And as we're talking about Star Trek, we might as well talk about the sad passing of Anton Yelchin. Who sadly died.
He was very young.
He was.
Oh my God.
Yeah, that was such a shock when I read that.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh.
Just tragic. I mean,
an actual freak accident.
Yeah. What can you say? I mean, it's just horrible. And
absolutely horrible. So, I'm sure they'll honour him in some way in this film. Yeah, so I kind of, that was quite a bit of a shock. And another death to add to the list of many deaths this year, which is quite sad. But but on to happier things.
This is not going to be a fondly remembered year.
Totally. But on the up, Richard, you're off to San Diego for the Comic Con next week. Now, tell us about, so, because you'll have an in there, tell us about some of the hotly anticipated things that may happen while you're over
well,
there.
Well, it's an interesting one this year. There's, you know, it's become this sort of, I mean, I guess it's geek heaven, and it's been a place where, you know, a lot of big movie reveals, and this year it's been a bit quiet on the movie front, you know.
Really?
So, you know, for example, 20th Century Fox aren't taking any movies there. There's not much Paramount, you know. So, but on the Saturday, though, there are some, you know, really big stuff, because you've got Warner, who are going to have Suicide Squad and a bit of Wonder Woman and Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them, which is, of course, the Harry Potter prequel spin-off thingy. And in the afternoon on Saturday, they've got the Marvel panel. So we're looking for a bit of Guardians of the Galaxy 2. We're looking for a bit of Thor Ragnarok, maybe, which has only just started shooting. And obviously Doctor Strange. And they usually make an announcement, and they usually wheel out all the talent. And so there's going to be a big sort of face-off between Warner and Marvel there about who gets all the news. No Star Wars really there, because Star Wars is doing Celebration in London this weekend, so they've got they'll be doing their big announcements there.
They've got a trailer coming later today for Star Wars.
Yes, for Rogue One, we think, yeah. Well, I'd be very surprised if there wasn't, you know, if you've got this big panel of Rogue One. So, yeah, on the film front, it's kind of a bit quiet.
Okay.
And they've got, I suppose you've got a Star Trek 50th anniversary thing with some, you know, some cast. And you've got Aliens 50th anniversary retrospective. But there's loads of TV. And it's actually become more of an event about TV now. I think partly because TV fans are just so engaged, and they kind of fall in love with their shows, and because they watch it every week, they're obsessed. So just any TV show you can think of will be out there.
Right. Okay.
I mean, obviously there'll be Game of Thrones. I mean, traditionally Game of Thrones don't spill anything.
Okay.
So, you know, you don't really go looking for spoilers. You're more likely to find out just little stories about, oh yeah, my sword stuck in my bottom. Yeah, it was a bit uncomfortable. So yeah, and then there's The Walking Dead, which is going to be really weird because one of the cast is not going to be in it after the first episode because that controversial cliffhanger. So how they talk around that, I mean, how are they going to do pictures, you know? It's that's a spoiler. There's about three or four characters they can actually show who, you know,
right,
aren't
okay.
dead. So there'll be Walking Dead and just basically any TV show you can put. But the thing with Comic-Con is it's just size. I mean,
so what do you do when you get in there? For people that just are visiting, obviously you just wander about, but do you go in with a strategy and a plan? You're like, right, I have to hit this and this at this time.
Yes,
like a military
there is a strategy, there is a plan that is constantly evolving,
right,
depending on what happens. It's a huge convention centre, and it's just crammed with people. You know, you're looking at 130 odd thousand people, all sort of in less space than they should probably have. So you kind of develop the comic on shuffle because you can't get anywhere very quickly. You're all sort of just.
And normally some of them are like wearing big, hefty cosplay costumes.
Oh, yeah. So the cosplay is just out of this world. Some of it is amazing. You know, at genuinely like professional standards.
Yeah, I've seen a couple online. Like,
this is why Snapchat. I don't tend to do cosplay because I'm like, I can't get near to this. I'd just be egg boxes.
So. get a wig, like that's it. A wig and a bit of makeup, fine.
But it kind of takes over the city as well. So it was bits around the hotels and everything around the convention centre. They're crammed as well, and like lots of little fringe events going on. People trying to flog you their leaflets, come to their little screening.
Okay, so you're going to be shattered when you get back.
Yeah. There's a lot of walking, and right. You know, anyone who's been to a California city will know that walking in a California city is not the easy. It just takes ages. Takes ages to cross the road, and it's warm. So,
but anything that you personally are looking forward to out of all the things you've talked about that you're thinking, oh, right. Yeah, that I want to see.
The Walking Dead stuff's always good. They always make a very good, you know, they put on a good show. Hopefully some Star Trek Beyond stuff, the new TV show. The TV show that's starting in the new year. Very interesting to see what they've got to say about that. So yeah. Brian Fuller's there to talk about that. So that should be pretty cool.
Okay. So in the next spoiler alert, we'll be able to talk about all of that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, the thing is now, you know, they look at it very much as, I guess, get the fans getting first word on stuff. It was really what made Iron Man in the first place. You know, in 2007, it would have been now. Jon Favreau turned up with Robert Downey Jr. I was, yeah.
Oh, were you genuinely quite excited?
Oh, it was. It was properly, really. Well, they showed the first footage of it. And, you know, this back then, Iron Man was not A-list.
Mm. And the Marvel Universe.
Well, this was their first movie. This was their first, you know, movie by themselves. Mm-hmm. And you know, you saw that, and it basically just went stratospheric, and everyone was talking about it. And since then, as social media has kind of grown, you can kind of the fans kind of just talk about it straight away, and it can be a very big thing for actually setting a tone for a movie. Though sometimes it just doesn't work at all. I mean, Scott Pilgrim. It was all over Comic-Con and they didn't make very much money, you know. You know, it really did. They did push it, and that's sometimes made studios think, is it really worth it? So they kind of fall in and out of love with Comic-Con, I think.
Okay, well, I hope you have a good time.
It's always exciting.
You'll be refreshed by the time you come back to spoil later anyway.
Yeah, so yeah.
You've had time to recover.
Eventually, yes.
It'll take you about a month to get recovered. But what do we have coming up next? We've got a guest.
Yes, so we've got Paul Flannery, who's going to be in the studio after on the back of this track.
So
I love the Eurythmics.
Yeah, oh, the Eurythmics. Yeah, yeah, I love them. They're amazing. I'm such an 80s. Well, we're doing a bit of 80s and 90s nostalgia later.
Yes, we are, because obviously Pokemon Go has come back this week, and it's just swept the world by storm.
You're making me feel really old.
It's an invasion.
It is. It's an invasion of pocket monsters.
Rubbish. Rubbish.
Get on board, Claire.
With your Power Rangers and your Pokemon.
No,
rubbish.
We'll resist.
Shit. Shite.
I'm not going to stand for you, Pikachu.
Yeah. But we've got a guest in the studio. We've got a guest in the studio. We have Paul Flannery in the studio. Hi, Paul.
Hello.
Yay. Thank you for coming down.
Yeah, no problem at all.
It's lovely to have you. So, Paul, we've got you in the studio because you're going to be up in Edinburgh this year doing a show.
Yeah, too.
Tell us about your show, because it's got a geeky slant to it.
Which one?
The MMORPG show.
The Momorpaga.
Yes.
Is that how you're saying it? Momorpaga.
That's the sort of official pronunciation of the acronym, yeah.
Yes.
Momorpaga.
Momorpaga. Yes, it sounds like a disease or an alien.
Yeah, it sounds like you've made a mistake. Yeah. But yeah, you haven't, yeah. MMORPG. So, yeah, the MMORPG show is basically like a paired down game of Dungeons and Dragons. Brilliant. That takes place over about an hour. So if you've ever played like tabletop role play games, there's a considerable amount of admin.
Okay.
shall we say, which can be off putting to some people, and me included. I find it's a lot to get through, a lot of numbers, a lot of, you know, rolling for initiative, rolling for this. So I pared all that down, and we play it live with three people, three members of the audience who come up and they take on the role of characters. And they go through a narrative, and I have a huge 20-sided dice that I've made. And every decision, every action they take, we roll the dice, we see what happens, and the story is sort of affected from there. That's it in a nutshell.
So presumably you do all the setting up backstage, because you could spend an hour setting up, and that would
do it at the top of the show. It takes about 5 to 7 minutes to get...
Oh, that's impressive.
So there's about 4 minutes of stand-up at the top, sort of all jokes about dragons and what old white wizards...
Brilliant.
And then we just cut through the admin in about sort of 5 minutes. It's surprisingly quick. Once you pare it down, it's actually, you know, people sort of are put off by, oh god, it's all numbers and everything. Uh-huh. No, it's fine. You could walk into the show, if you've never played a game like that before, you pick it up instantly.
And you, I mean, because it's quite niche, obviously. I mean, everything we're doing today is very niche. It's pop culture, it's geeky stuff. Do you find that folk that aren't necessarily into this sort of vibe respond quite well to it as well, and they get into it by the end of the show, kind of thing? Or do you get quite a lot of super geeks coming into it?
A bit of both. So yeah, there's always sort of super geeks, and they're sort of sitting there going, you know, which version of the rules are we playing? It's not that. It's about being inclusional. It's about getting people who've never played this sort of thing before,
right,
to come in, sit down, understand it really easily. And it is, obviously, it's just an hour of being silly and sort of forgetting.
I'm sure you're going to get someone to go, oh, I think you'll find that your wizard can't use the Helm of Destruction at a level 3. Yeah. Like, don't care, mate.
Things like that. Yeah, sort of. But you guys go, well, we're all for it, you know. I don't mind, you know. I'm all up for people sort of joining in and chiming up and giving ideas. That's brilliant. But yeah, we'll let the dice decide.
And it's, well, because we're reading the presses from the makers of Nightmare Alive now. Nightmare Alive is what caught my attention first, and I started reading about your Edinburgh show as well. Now, growing up, like, do you watch Nightmare as well?
Oh yeah,
yeah. Like, that was like, I absolutely loved Nightmare, and I always
used
to think
the best thing.
Those kids were shit. I was like, I could do better than that. Those kids are shit.
But it was actually really hard.
Yeah,
it was really hard,
and it was quite scary. Like, you know, when the skin peels away from that little graphic, and then it reveals the skull. And I used to find it quite scary when I was wee, but I used to kind of think, sidestep left, god damn it, like, they weren't doing it quick enough. But did you, how did you get the idea for doing Nightmare Alive? Did you just think, oh, I like it, let's do it live, or how did that come about?
Well, it was about 3.5 years ago. It was just a conversation at a pub about, you know, what would make a good Edinburgh show. Mm-hmm. You know, you start going through, oh, we should do Funhouse or Crystal Maze or, you know, whatever. And a Nightmare came up, and it sort of just stuck in my head. And I thought, well, actually, this is one of the things I could foreseeably do at Edinburgh that wouldn't cost £1 million or, you know, anything else like that. And yeah, I kept going over and over it and going, actually, that could work on stage. That could work. You know, we could convert that way of doing it like that. And then we wrote off to Tim Charles, the creator of Nightmare. And he very generously gave us the rights.
Wow.
So before I knew it, I kind of hatted it. Because once you've gone that far, yeah. go, right. we're thinking of doing this. We go, yeah, go ahead. You go, okay, I've now got 5 months in which to do this. okay. So, yeah, I did a Kickstarter in 2013, and it was very successful.
Oh, amazing.
And then over about 12 weeks, put together this entire show without really knowing what exactly it was we were doing. Because, you know, there's no blueprint for putting Nightmare on stage. No one's ever done it before, so.
Mm. And you play, on Nightmare Live, you play Traegard.
Yeah, that's my role.
So explain to our listeners who may have not seen Nightmare who Traegard is.
Traegard is the Dungeon Master. He is, initially in Nightmare, he was sort of an ambiguous character, so whether he was good or evil, he would just guide you. He'd put you in the dungeon, put you in the helmet, and then, well, team, if you haven't done the right thing, you can't expect to win. As it progressed, they added a couple of really good, solid villains so that he could become, like, the good guy.
Right.
It's quite an admin-y role. I sort of stand next to the team, either encouraging them or berating them, depending on how well they're doing.
And do you play it like the original Traegard, I have to ask, or are you your own Traegard?
I mean, they're very similar. They're sort of the same cloth. We're sort of undecided as to whether they're related or if it's like a Doctor Who thing, where there's been a regeneration. You know, there's no sort of canon for it, so we're kind of making up as we go along. It's, whatever works for the joke at that point.
So how does it work live? Because obviously in the TV show, if you don't remember the TV show, you have this group of kids, and one kid wears the helmet and mm-hmm. goes and does the stuff and goes on the adventure, and they're guided by their team. So how does that work on stage? Do they go into separate rooms somewhere?
It's all done in the same room. So the team sits on one side of the stage, and they can see, and one person's in a helmet, and they are on in a different sort of section. We light it so that it looks like there's a separate room, although we break all of the rules as soon as it's funny, so the rules are there so that you can break them as and when, and somebody runs around in the helmet, and then they're met by other actors and characters and puppets.
Oh, great.
We have an amazing backdrop at the moment, because we used to have a wooden set of like archways and doors and things like that, but this year we've got this incredible backdrop that it changes, the picture on it changes depending on which colour light you shine on it.
Ooh.
So it's sort of RBG sort of it's quite an old school technique. They used to use it in Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde in the old film back in the right. 50s, when they wanted his face to change, the makeup would be different colours, and they'd change the light, and so he would turn from one person to another. It's that what we're using.
And how do you get the the folk up? Like, do you decide on the night? Do you just go right, you, or do people volunteer themselves?
People have been writing in. There's an email on the website, nightmarelive.com, if you fancy getting involved. So just write. It says write to our team. It's basically me. and I put people on a list, and we start sort of picking them out. And some people donated to our recent Indiegogo. And they're sort of like, they got priority on the list.
Right, okay, cool. So you've already know ahead of time who's coming on the show.
We've changed the format again. Initially when we did it, we'd have one dungeoneer and they'd go through a whole story, and we'd sort of slowly take the safety catches off, which works for a theatre show, but it isn't particularly like Nightmare. So this year what we've done is take that all away, and you can die anytime.
Oh, God.
We're just offing people. We're just kill them.
And what would you say is the most fun? Because I always thought being in the helmet would be quite fun, but now I'm thinking as an adult, maybe being controlling the helmet would be quite fun. So what do you think is probably most fun?
I don't know. Some people really, really love being in the helmet and really sort of respond well to it. Some people less so, because like you say, you're not actually watching the show. You can't see anything.
Yeah.
You're in a hat. But the being the guides, like you were saying before, going, oh, I could do better than that, is exactly the sentiment. Like, you're sitting in a chair and 300-400 people are screaming at you while you're trying to you're trying to work out a word puzzle, and you're trying to do critical thinking while all this is going on. And it's the hardest bit. It really is. It's so difficult, because everyone in the audience thinks that they could do better, and it's not true. Just simply not true.
Have you tried it yourself? Because obviously you've got to maybe go through like a rehearsal period. Have you tried both ends as well, like in the helmet?
Not for a long time, no.
Right.
I mean, when we sort of workshop it in rehearsal rooms, again, it's quite hard to sort of to do, because it's kind of improvised. It's up to the team and the Dungeoneer to decide what it is they want to do. And there's quite a bit of free rein. You know, we know what our characters are, we know what the room is, we know what the idea is. You're buying some objects, or you're answering a riddle, and you're tickling a wizard's beard, or whatever it is. And, but apart from that, they can, they, you know, they come up with whatever. So there's only so much you can do until you're sort of going, well, let's put it on stage, see what they do.
That sounds amazing.
I mean, do you find that you get people come up with this, like, real wish fulfillment? Because everyone wanted to be on this show when they were a kid, but no one, you never knew anyone who was.
Huge amount, yeah. It's incredibly cathartic. So even if you're just sitting in the audience and you're not, you'll be shouting out answers to riddles, you'll be screaming at people that there's a goblin coming. There's, you know, there's no real fourth wall. It's very much, you know, we're all here. We all know why we're here. You know, let's have a really good time. Let's, you know, let's crack on.
Because there's been quite a resurgence of those, like, TV shows from, like, the sort of 80s and 90s kind of coming back now, because we're talking about the Crystal Maze.
Yeah,
experience.
The Crystal Maze has got its own shows. Is it? It's already on, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's a interactive.
Yeah.
I work there.
Oh, yes.
it's my day job.
What is it you're doing at the Crystal Maze Experience?
I'm a maze master.
Oh.
So there's about 30 of us now who, like, all take on the Richard O'Brien role.
Yeah.
And you take groups of 8 people around. And it's just cyclical. It's like a carousel. It just runs and runs and runs and runs.
Was it hard to learn harmonica, or did you not just skip over that bit?
No, I've got a harmonica.
Oh, you've got
a
harmonica.
Yeah, it's not that hard, actually. I play a bit of music anyway, so it's not that. If I can play a couple of things on the harmonica, I can get away with going, hey, a harmonica.
Well, I mean, it never really went full force with the harmonica. You'd play a little bit, and then you talk about his mumsy. Yeah. For a while, and then go back to the harmonica. But there's a real resurgence in, like, experience type things from our youth, and then just general things, like we had the zombie experience thing last year. Those guys,
yes, we did. Yeah,
Generation Z.
Yes, yeah, that's right.
My
that's
flatmate was in that.
Oh,
and it's a very small world. Once you get into the sort of interactive theatre, half the people I work with have done Secret Cinema, and a couple of them are on Generation Z. I did it a couple of times. It's really good.
I don't know what it is. I went, and I love those immersive theatre experiences. And I don't think there are more of them coming, but I don't think there is enough of them. And they are so sought after that it is, when you do see one, like the Crystal Maze one, so difficult to try and get tickets now.
Yeah, it's sold out till March.
Yeah,
it's absolutely mad. I mean, great for me because I've got work.
Trying to get trying to get eight adults.
Oh yeah.
Together is really difficult, because I was like, oh yeah, this will be easy. Hey everyone, like, let's get a team of us together. Oh, I've got the kids, and no, I can't. I've got like a day job. I can do it at any point. It's like 9 in the morning. There's 9 in the morning slot. No one's up for it at 9 in the morning on a Sunday or some ridiculous thing like that. Back to the sort of like, this is the general vibe of like the MMO, well, the Mmorpga show and Nightmare as well. Do you think like things like Game of Thrones and stuff like that, and TV shows have kind of opened up that kind of geek culture world to people that might not have been interested before?
Oh, incredibly. I'm in debt to Game of Thrones so much. I mean, we obviously make jokes about it during the show. It's weird. It's quite topical.
Yeah.
As soon as, while it's on, you can make any Game of Thrones reference joke you like, and people roll with them after. A couple of weeks after it's gone off air, those jokes start falling off, and you go, oh, okay. But no, absolutely. The more that sort of fantasy genre is far more accessible now, I think, and people think of it less as sort of geeky and LARPy and things like that, and it's much more cool. I think people are much more accepting of, it is fun to get dress up as a thing and run around the woods for a bit, isn't it?
Yeah.
Geeks have taken over. No one wants to grow up, you know?
No, why would you?
Exactly. It's a miserable world.
Like, I remember when I was younger, and it's like, I loved like X-Men and comics and all these things that we were talking about, but it was so, and I went to an all-girls school, and it just wasn't accepted at all. Like, it was very much like, you know, if you didn't like Boyzone, then that you know, it wasn't whatever, and you were kind of seen as like a little bit, it sounds very cliche, but quite sort of outcast a little bit if you're talking about dragons and sci-fi and robots or whatever. But now it is very like, I see like our friends' kids, and they're like the cool ones that like got the little t-shirts and stuff and going to like Marvel stuff or whatever and into Game of Thrones. So it's kind of like, I find it strange but also amazing that people are really into pop culture now. It's big business. No, it's like the biggest money making thing. So what would you have planned next after you're finished with these? Do you have any other experiences you would like to dip your toes into?
I don't at the moment. I think I think 3 shows is enough for anyone. But I sort of found this out at one point this year. I was still doing Crystal Maze, doing Mamorpga at the Vault Festival, and sort of writing the new Nightmare format, and I just flat out, so I didn't have enough room in my brain for all of it. So I'm going to do Edinburgh, do the two of them, see how Mamorpga goes, and hopefully sort of take it on tour a little bit and put it on in London somewhere in a little venue. And then sort of start going, okay, what's next?
Because you mentioned Funhouse and stuff like that as well. I was like, should that be amazing?
I'm not sure Funhouse would work.
I would do Funhouse. I mean, I'd be well up for it.
It's just soft play, get in a ball pit. Here's a Skeletrix set. Well done, you. See, that's what was good about Nightmare, is it didn't patronise anybody. It's like, you got the riddle wrong, you're dead. Get out.
And then there were those people who got left at the end of the series, just in limbo.
Yeah,
I think they tried to wrap them up,
or even at the end of episodes.
Yeah, they would freeze and stuff. The weirdest one was when Christmas arrived. That's a really odd. Go to YouTube and find it. The Christmas Nightmare. It's so weird.
Oh really? Okay, I'm going to look at that later. And do you have the little walking off into the sunset bit? You know, when you're at the end, or do you just kind of they just have to walk? Because I remember they used to like walk off into like some kind of little valley or sunset.
We did, didn't
we? Well, we'd sort of have to, again, because of the timing on stage. We just swap them over. So we go, oh, okay, sorry, you didn't make it.
Next one.
Here's
on.
A badge. Bring on the next one.
The adventure game.
The adventure game, yeah. Again, it's weirdly slightly. I didn't really remember it. Slightly before Nightmare.
Yeah, it was. Yeah. It
yeah.
Was,
yeah. So again, I don't think there's.
I mean, maybe it was early 80s, wasn't it? And people killed by a ZX Spectrum effect.
Yeah. as soon as you start getting into once we had sort of cable TV and multiple TV channels, the appeal just falls off. Like we had four channels, and Nightmare was on one of them, and it had 6 million viewers. I mean, that's. Yeah. That's what X Factor's getting.
Yeah,
you know,
that's
so you've got like there's a huge amount of appeal. As soon as you mention it to anybody, they're like, "Oh my god, I love that show."
Do you think if they brought it back now for a younger generation like Nightmare, do you think it would be well received now?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, I think you might have to update certain elements of it. When you watch it back, sometimes it can be a little bit stilted. And I think the effects are fine, or an equivalent, you know, you'd have like an equivalent of the effects today, but I think the format is absolutely genius.
Yeah.
And you need to have that light, because they tried to do it with fully virtual reality towards the end, and you were just driving a sprite around that had the helmet on, but there's no danger there, you know, you need to have an actual human who looks like they're going to fall down a precipice.
Yeah.
Otherwise, no one cares.
Yeah. We want real, actual stakes.
Stakes, please, people. Stakes. Come on.
You haven't had that yet, where someone's been wearing the helmet and they've actually fallen off the edge of the stage.
No, that could only happen once. That, and then it's like, it's game over. So, no, we're always like, especially if you go to a place and they go, it's a raised stage. Okay. All right. You have to just really keep an eye on things.
After Edinburgh, mm-hmm. when you come back, can people still come and see Nightmare live and the Mamorpga show as well? You said you're going to try and tour that. So where can people see these things apart from Edinburgh?
Coming back from Edinburgh this year, I'm not sure about Nightmare. I think we're going to be doing Leicester Comedy Festival next year, mm-hmm. And Birmingham again. Again, it's not really up to me. It's up to theatres to book it. But I'm talking to somebody at the moment about doing Mamorpga in London.
Great.
But I don't exactly know where yet.
You should try Comic Cons.
Yeah, that's the other thing, doing conventions. A lot of them happen in August, sadly. We did Nine Worlds last year.
There's one in October, MCM's in October, things like that. So, I think it could go down an absolute storm at Comic Cons. I think you'd do really well there. But tell us about Mamorpga in Edinburgh. If you're up in Edinburgh, mm-hmm. where can you see Mamorpga?
It's at the Counting House at 9:20.
Yep. Yes.
I do know what time it starts.
And you're on for that throughout the whole festival.
The whole run.
You've got no days off.
The 15th off. But you can literally go from Nightmare, watch Nightmare, and then roll into Mamorpga. Because there's about half an hour in between the two. That's exactly what I'm going to be doing. So I'm going to Pied Piper it and just get come, follow me to the next adventure. It's like, again, Mamorpga is just simply in a way of getting so I can play all the fun characters. Because again, in Nightmare, I'm Traegard and it's amazing, but you don't get to be evil. You don't get to betray anyone. You just have to stand there and go, warning team. And then, so for 3 years of watching everybody else having all the fun, I really want to do all those characters.
I want to play a bastard.
Yeah, so you get to be a malevolent seagull or whatever. whatever the audience come up with.
Okay, so your website is memorpgshow.com, so it's memorpgshow.com. Mm-hmm. Nightmarealive.com is the Nightmare Alive site.
That's right.
And where can we find you on Twitter?
At Pirate Moustache.
Pirate Moustache, well, that's easy to remember.
For obvious reasons, if you could see me.
Yes, yes.
There's an at Nightmare Alive Twitter as well, but that's sort of mostly that's sort of for Nightmare.
And that's just Nightmare Alive?
Yeah, at Nightmare Alive. That's Nightmare related stuff. All of my personal whitterings happen at Pirate Moustache.
And do we also have a Twitter for the Memorpica show?
That's just at Pirate Moustache.
Cool. So if you, for all your geeky live experience needs, go to Pirate Moustache or Nightmare Live and check out the memorpicashow.com, and we'll be tweeting all this out on Foobar, basically.
Incredible.
But yeah, like, thank you so much for joining us, Paul. Like, I really, really want to see this Nightmare Live show and the Memorpica
thing. Thank you for having me. There's a preview of Memorpica on the 26th of this month at... Oh, come on, Paul.
Pirate Moustache will tweet it out for you
at a pub later.
At an undisclosed location,
at a pub in Marble Arch.
We will tweet out all the details for you.
Amazing. Thank you.
When the show goes out, and yeah, please go follow Paul and check out the shows. Great.
Amazing.
Thank you so much.
Thanks very much, guys.
No problem.
Thanks.
Jane, Jefferson Starship. I love that track.
That is a great, great song. Oh, what is it? Oh, it was used in
Wet Hot American Summer.
That's it. That's it.
I love that show.
So good.
Apparently, they're going to do a sequel. They're going to do like a second season.
Another one.
Yeah, but I have no idea how they're going to do it, because the film was basically the last day of camp, and that was filmed like 20 years ago. They brought all the cast back to do a series, which was the first day of camp. What are they going to? Where are they going to go next?
I love the
middle
camp,
day.
So
yeah, could be.
I think it's brilliant, and I love that song. Great, great song. Well, what we've got now? What we've got now?
We're going to go delve back into our geek news. We're still joined by Paul Flannery from Nightmare Live.
Hi, Paul.
Hello.
Hey, and Richard from SFX Magazine.
Hello.
And Claire Lynn.
Hi.
Hi.
Hi, and Adamantium.
Thank you.
Hi.
This week, we've been invaded by pocket monsters.
Mm-hmm.
I am addicted to Pokemon Go. I don't know about you, Paul. Have you got the app yet?
I've not yet. A few of my friends have been hunting around, and it's quite weird. You go to a beer garden, and there's Tom Bell just leaping. I found one. Oh, come on. What?
You've not got the app yet.
I haven't. I was told, I got into the office after holiday on Wednesday and was told, there's a Pokemon on your desk. Like, where? So I was thinking, oh, someone's put a toy on my desk. I was like, what am I supposed to do? No, it's there. You just can't see it. Oh, right. Okay.
I'll just get on with my work then.
Yeah. It kind of wasn't a priority. I mean, there might be a Squirtle down there. Who knows?
Yeah, that sounds very bizarre. But yes, it's basically an app.
Yeah, it's a app for your phone that's all augmented reality, so you'll be walking around and you can find Pokemon to catch them. And
so you're just walking with your phone like in front of you?
No, it's sort of like, it's got Google Maps on it, basically. And you just see your little avatar walking up and down the street.
Do you use it on the way to work?
Yeah, on the way to work, I've got like a 10-15 minute walk from my house to the tube station, so I'll just open it up and just walk along the road and catch a Pikachu here and there.
It's now a half an hour long walk.
Yeah, that is basically it. My tube station is actually a gym, so I've
brilliant.
Yeah, so when I get home the other night, there's now this look of just, I saw these kids outside the tube station and they was all standing outside, and I was thinking, this is a bit weird, they're looking a bit dodgy, and they looked at me and I was like, I'm standing outside this tube station, this is looking a bit dodgy. And I looked at him and I was like, Pokemon Go? I was like, Pokemon Go. Okay.
Right. Can you get like little balls to put your phone in? Like a little Pokeball?
Oh,
that's quite a good idea.
That would be quite good.
If Nintendo are listening, that I want to share.
Yeah.
That will be the next thing. But it's, you know what, if it gets people out of the house, I guess.
Yeah.
I'm trying to be positive, guys.
It's created some incredible stories because of the new way of, I mean, it's the weird thing about Nintendo, they've done absolutely nothing for 20 odd years apart from regurgitate Mario and everything else, and then suddenly they've gone, oh yeah, we're going to absolutely change the planet.
Totally.
You're welcome.
This is what we've been waiting for.
This could actually be a Doctor Who episode that everyone's seeing them on their phone and then they gradually get physical form.
Oh,
and we actually see this invasion of Pokemon all over the planet.
I like it.
I'd get interested then. Yeah, definitely. As I said, you download the app.
I think we all would.
You download the app if it's going to become real and take over the planet. Yeah,
post-apocalyptic Pokemon world.
Oh, now
I'm
you
in.
Care.
Oh, yeah. I'm in.
Oh, I'll be part of the hive mind, sure.
Yes, yeah, take me to your leader, Pikachu, or whatever you're called, Squirtle Man.
Yeah, there's a Squirtle.
I know there's a Squirtle.
Charizard.
Charizard, never heard of Charizard before. Mm-hmm. Next week
we'll have to educate you with all the Pokemon names.
My little brother was into Power Rangers, Tom's Tank Engine, and Pokemon. That was his things. And my things were Thundercats, Masks, and Centurions. Yeah. And those are my things.
Mask was amazing.
Mask was so good. And Centurions and Visionaries. And so there was some crossover with us, but he was just really into Pokemon in a big way. Like, I just missed it.
See, that was me. That was like my life. Late 90s was just Pokemon obsessed.
I was
obsessed.
Getting drunk then. It's just like, that was my uni
drunken
days.
Pokemon was the best.
Drunkemon.
Drunkemon, yeah. Pikachu! I love you, Pikachu. But yeah, like, if it gets people at the house,
it's created some really bizarre stories that have just come out this week.
There was one at Downing Street, I saw.
Yes, there was a drowsy outside 10 Downing Street.
No, that's Theresa May. She just looks like that.
we need a clapping noise, Adam. We need an applause noise. Yeah, there was a picture or something outside of 10 Downing Street.
Yeah, a couple of people have already fallen into large bodies of water, had accidents.
Lovely.
Just because they're not paying attention to where they're going.
Really?
Yes.
Fools.
Yeah, but it's... I just can't wait to see what else this app, because it's only literally just come out. I've had it for about a week, but it's only literally just come out this week in the UK. So
yeah, shut down. I heard a story. It's a 40-year-old man. He never really bothered with Pokemon. He downloaded the app because he was bored one night. It was quite late at night. He couldn't sleep, and there was a Pokemon in the park nearby. So he said, "I'll go and find the thing." Walked into a park, and he said there were two young lads, about 18, sitting on a bench, looking a bit dodgy, and he's sort of like, "Oh." And he's sort of a bit worried, and they turn around to him and went, "Pokemon." And they're like, "Yeah, it's Pokemon." And they're sort of chatting and playing Pokemon.
Aww.
And then the police turned up, and it's about 2 o'clock in the morning, and then they have to explain to the police that there's a 40-year-old man and two 18-year-old kids not doing a drug deal. No, definitely, honestly, Pokemon, cheer.
Yeah, I know about that Pokemon stuff. Yeah,
it's everywhere.
Well, Pokemon Go, bringing people together since 2016. But yeah, not, I don't know, my husband's downloaded the app, but he was like, "I don't want to do all, as I said to you earlier, I don't want to go on Google Plus and attach it to Facebook stuff." So he was a bit fuddy-duddy about it. But I'm getting slightly, your infectious Pokemon Go-ness is making me curious.
It's been a slow burner for me, because when I got the app, I was just a bit like, I'll load it here and there, and then I was like, walked to the station one day and I've caught a couple, and I was like, didn't play it for a couple of days, and I was like, put it on again, and it's just sort of burnt that I'm like now getting really into it. So after the show today, I'm going to go to the shops and I'm going to like try and catch some Pokemon on my way to the shops.
You're not going to go back to work?
Oh no, I'm going to go back to work after I've come back from the shops with my lunch.
Just wandering around.
Yeah.
Where are you? I don't know. I've fallen into a body of water, but it's okay. I caught some kind of like Gigantazoo or something, or whatever they're called. Anyway, enough of Pokemon Go. There are other news stories happening in the world as well.
Yes.
What have we got next?
So the first images of the Star Wars themed Disney park sort of come out. There was some like concept art for what the theme park is going to look like, and I think we're all in agreement that it's going to be phenomenal.
Yeah.
I am going to go. It's open 2017, late 2017, I think. That's their estimate.
Yeah.
That's when they estimate it's going to open.
Not much more has been released apart from that image.
No.
I mean, I think there's something about you can ride the Millennium Falcon, which is quite cool.
Sure.
But what would you like to see at Star Wars World, Richard and Paul? What would you like to see?
Oh, unless you can climb inside a live Tauntaun, then there's no... I'm not... not in. Not for me. No.
Personal request from Paul Flanagan. What about you, Richard? What would you quite like to see at Star Wars World?
Spaceships.
Just spaceships?
Yeah. Sitting in spaceships. Functional lightsabers. I mean, I think anything like that. I think just the immersive thing. I think it's got to be stuff, you know, from the films. You know, you don't really want to be going in a sort of parallel thing. You know, you want to go to Hoth. You want to go to Tatooine.
Yeah.
You know, you want to go to all those places, because Star Wars is so about evocative environments and places. You want stormtroopers running around.
You want to wander around Mos Eisley and just go to, you know, just to be able to do normal stuff. Go and get a coffee at a bar, but you're in Mos Eisley and... Yeah, if people come up and ask you questions, you can Jedi mind trick them and buy into it and things like that. That would be great. Yeah.
I will go to a bar where the Cantina band are playing. Just that song in a loop over and over and over again.
Oh.
Just think of the poor staff.
That's what I was going to say. The poor staff, they're just going to be like conditioned. They're just gonna be like,
from the top.
Yeah, the whole Disneyland resort is an elaborate torturing device.
I'm really looking forward to it. I will make a special trip just to get there.
Yeah, I think I'm going to have to do the same as well.
I think it's going to be awesome.
But they're opening, I don't think simultaneously, but there's going to be one in LA and there's going to be one in Orlando. So...
Great.
You can go to both sides of the country to
just
to
get a new Millennium Falcon hot.
Yeah,
that'd
be brilliant.
Yeah, that's going to be the top thing, isn't it?
Oh, yeah.
Fly through a Death Star in the Millennium Falcon, pretty cool.
Yeah, I think that's it. Can die happy, basically. And Alien 5,
yes,
as well. Now, there was some. I mean, I think people got really excited because of Neil Blomkamp's pictures that he released quite a while ago, and everyone got really excited.
Well, I think they were kind of the thing that got it. Sort of green lit, pretty much. You know, it was him putting out this concept art.
But where are we at now, though? It's in development hell.
Well, yeah. So Neil Blomkamp said, yeah, I want to make Alien 5, and it'd be a continuation after Aliens. So basically means that Hicks and Newt aren't dead, and, you know, sort of carry on the story that way. And Sigourney Weaver's on board, you know, sort of talking about it really happily. And then it turned out Fox wanted to prioritise Prometheus 2, which Ridley Scott wanted to make.
Yeah, so this is Ridley Scott's Alien... Covenant,
yes. So
it's like Prometheus sequel / Alien prequel.
Yeah, it's all getting a bit fuzzy. And I think we're going to see more aliens in this. And it's going to have Michael Fassbender's android David in
it. He was great.
He was the best thing about the movie.
Yeah. Two bits about the movie that are really good, and Fassbender's one of them.
Yes.
Well, he's actually two of them now.
Oh, okay.
Because he's split in two, yeah.
Oh, perfect.
Yeah. Well, there you go. Just full Fassbender.
Hopefully, you'll spend the whole movie just a head in a bag. Yeah.
Bring him out.
What's that name?
Behind you. All right, okay.
Because the Noomi Rapace character is, you know, she originally looked like she wasn't going to be in it at all. Now they have announced that she is going to appear somehow. But it looks like it's a very different story, and I think it's a colonising ship or something called the Covenant.
I think we've talked about Prometheus in the show before. Oh, it was such a disappointment. And I could probably do like 2-hour show of just bashing Prometheus, but that was a few years ago, and we'll move on now. But I'm looking forward to, I think Ridley Scott is a good director. He made Blade Runner, goodbye me, like my favourite film of all time. But Alien 5 interests me more because of what Sigourney Weaver said recently. She did an interview explaining why, again, they couldn't make this film right now, but they want to give her character Ripley a good end.
Didn't she have a pretty good definitive end in Alien 3? She jumped into a pit
or
of
Alien
fire.
Resurrection. She came back as a clone.
Yeah, but she's a different character.
Yeah, we don't talk about that one either.
Yeah. The less said about that, the better. That was a sort of somewhat good end. But I felt that film was a bit mixed because Fincher came on board late and it just felt a little bit whatever. But when I watch it now, I think it's okay. But she also, the xenomorphs are explained a little bit more and their motivations in Alien 5.
Do they really need to explain their motivations? Because I've just assumed that they are just primitive hunter-gatherers
Are they misunderstood?
Yeah, like, I imagine them sitting in like a room somewhere going, so, what's your motivations?
maybe eating people is their way of communicating. They're trying to actually say hello to the human race.
Yeah, no.
Just giving them a little kiss, but just going that little bit too far.
Totally. Yeah. Sorry about that. But yeah, I think they're just, it's like, this one is going to be like, if Alien 5 gets made, it will be out at some point next year, they say, 2017, probably late 2017, I think.
Well, Alien Covenant is next summer.
Next summer.
Yeah.
Oh, so, okay. So Alien 5, I think they just kind of wanted to do a bit more of the explaining. It's like Alien 3 and Resurrection Never Happened, so we're following on from James Cameron's second Alien film, which is great, actually.
Yeah.
I figured out, actually, the other day that I love James Cameron up until around about The Abyss, maybe? Or, yeah, maybe about the early 90s.
What about Terminator 2?
Oh, yeah, Terminator 2, up until about the early 90s, and then he just got very obsessed with sea stuff. Titanic. It's like going.
Titanic.
Yeah, Titanic.
That is actually the tagline for Titanic.
Sea stuff.
Sea stuff.
Hence why I'm not a film critic. And then, just got into the Avatar vibe and developing 3D stuff.
Leonardo DiCaprio got into some frozen water, turned a bit blue, and James Cameron went, I'll plan it.
It's given me many an idea. I love Alien. I mean,
it's one of my favourite films.
The first and the second are brilliant.
I mean, it would be great to see another great film, but I do have a feeling that ever since Alien and Aliens kind of did everything that has been good with the Alien, every other film since, whether it's Alien 3 or Prometheus or Alien versus Predator, let's not talk about those, but they've just been riffing on what was done and established by those movies. We've not seen anything original yet that kind of adds to what we saw in Alien and Aliens. So
It's a shame. Like the three had so many good performances and just crawling with brilliant British actors doing incredible work. But yeah, the story is a bit. And there's so many things in the comics that you go. And this is not about every franchise ever. Well, look, the comics are really good. They're awesome, great. Yeah. Obviously, you don't have to budget for it. But like where the aliens take over planet Earth, and then a general tries to train aliens, an alien army, to go and retake the planet. Mm. And there's huge amounts of conflict, and people just get churned up in the machine. It's a really, really good. There's loads of things there you could do, but they've never really jumped on these bigger ideas.
No. I just feel sometimes with the studio, there's so much, there's a lot of rich source material from many of these comics, but they're just taking the very light. They're going, oh, popcorn movie, take the lightest ideas from that and go on and make a film. And it happens time and time again, especially with superhero films or Batman, especially because Batman, there's so much lore to Batman, and they've chosen to show the origin story of Batman about 5 flipping million times. It's like, yeah, we know. Yeah, your parents died, whatever. Like, I'm just getting so whatever about it. But they never kind of explore characters or themes properly. But that would be quite an interesting one. I feel it might make a good television show almost more than a film, because you could explore...
Yeah, I think that's why TV's sort of taken over. You get the chance to really revel in a story and to pull out a character and to draw things out properly.
It's what I've always said about DC's films. They've picked the wrong battles. They've picked the wrong battleground. Marvel just stormed the cinemas. DC's TV shows like Arrow, Flash, Supergirl are good. They're really good shows, and I watch them every single week. They should be concentrating more on that. Mm. Fuck the films, because that's a losing battle. They're too late to the party.
I don't know if it's that. I mean, what Marvel, so DC should do with the films is not worry about doing a shared universe. Marvel have done that really well, but maybe it doesn't work so well. You know, the way they've done Superman and Batman, they don't fit in the same universe. Because the Superman they've made is. Doesn't feel like Superman. Mm. He just feels like some mopey guy who can fly. make a good Superman movie, make a good Batman movie, but this whole shared universe thing, Marvel do it brilliantly, but that doesn't mean that everyone else should.
No. And they felt like they rushed it off the bat as well. Yeah. They're going, oh, Marvel have got this thing, we've got to really set it up, we've got to do it now. I was talking to friends of mine the other day and going, a better idea would have done, just do what Marvel haven't done and do a female-led superhero movie. Mm. Just do Wonder Woman, like they did Iron Man. Just do that. Just give it to a good director, like give them free rein and just go, just do Wonder Woman and see what happens, because that's something Marvel haven't done.
Yeah.
And then you can build it up rather than sort of retro. Oh, who's that in with Superman and Batman? Is that, oh, it's a Wonder Woman. Who? The old photograph. Yeah, that's not a story.
She had more story than Aquaman.
Yes, true.
Oh, God. I mean, like, she was actually one of the most intriguing, for me anyway.
She was good.
She was great, I could watch you for an hour and a half happily.
She was bloody brilliant. I wish she'd been given more lines, more things to say. I think they've got like another cut coming out in Blu-ray.
Yes.
More violent R-rated.
A longer, more tedium.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what that film needed.
Yeah. More length, I say. It's not enough length. I could have watched. I mean, we came out of the cinema depressed. I mean, we had the whole episode where we just trashed. There's a few months ago. We basically just trashed Batman v Superman. But I thought Wonder Woman was great. I'm looking forward to Wonder Woman. I'm looking forward to the alien thing as well. Mm. Not so much maybe Blade Runner and stuff like that coming out. Gosling.
The thing that makes me sad with all this is just... please make something new.
Yes.
You know, there's everything now is just let's go back to something that we've done before. You know, I understand the logic of it because, you know, you want people leap on things they know. You don't have to establish it from scratch. But, you know, you're just going to run them all into the ground. And, you know, just the excitement when you see something you've never seen before. You know, that thing when you come out of a film, it's like, wow, what was that? And, you know, we're going to lose that.
Yeah, that brings us on to the next story, actually. This Stephen King's It... is being remade. A new image of Pennywise was released. But it doesn't look as scary as Tim Curry's. Like that, I looked at it and I was like,
They've made it a little bit darker, but it's not.
He looks menacing.
Yeah.
But, you know, whatever.
What was wrong with the original? Was it not scary enough?
It was too scary.
Did it not traumatise everyone?
I hate clowns because of this film.
I'm going to remember that.
Don't.
Coming with a red nose and a wig. Hey, Adam, what's wrong? What's wrong, Adam? But yeah, that film was, the original was brilliant. I don't want to, I think it's that thing where we will, you know, when we remember the originals, go, oh, the original's better. I mean, this one might be fine. It might be fine, but it's so iconic. I think there's a time and a place, and sometimes we should just leave things where they are.
Is it literally a remake?
Yeah, I think it's just a remake. Yeah.
But
yeah, straight remake.
Stephen King's sort of still attached to it. So after the success of 11/22/63, Under the Dome, which was really good. Mm. So it's going to Bill Skarsgård.
Yes. Isn't it? There's a million Skarsgårds.
From Hemlock Grove? Is that what it's called?
Yeah, that's the Eli Roth thing on Netflix. Mm-hmm. So Skarsgård is in it. I think it'll be, it'll be fine. There's a lot of kids that probably don't even remember the first film, but I would highly advise that you go watch that. I mean, remember when Pennywise comes out of the toilet? His little head, and I couldn't go to the toilet for ages. I obviously had to, but no, it's okay, I'll just politely wet myself. But yeah, I remember kind of going, oh, no, my mum would try and coax me in. That, between that and getting scared of X-Files episodes, I was quite a scaredy child.
That's because of all the horror you was watching.
I know, and even now, I'm really bad. I like horror, I like to feel scared, but I do still sit at night sometimes and look at the door. Oh, it's the cat. It's the cat. It's fine. It's the cat. I kind of look around. I get really scared really easily. But yeah, whatever it. Not that bar. What do you guys think? Interested?
No. I must admit, I'm a bit sort of meh about it. Mm. I mean, it's not a film that I'm really clamouring for a remake of. And you've just got that iconic Tim Curry clown. It's like, is it going to be better? It's not even like doing the Joker again. You know, it's fairly limited character and what you can do with it.
But I think with the Joker, the different incarnations of the Joker, they've always taken a different sort of role. So we're not going to probably see the same Joker as what was in Batman Dark Knight Rises. No.
Dark Knight,
yeah. That was it. Yeah. so we're not, in Batman, the original Batman film, we're not going to see the same one, but with Pennywise, it's probably going to just be the same character.
I thought they did the right thing when they did the Thing prequel. Have you ever watched back-to-back, it's absolutely amazing. So you watch the modern one first, and then you go back and watch the seven, and they set up all of the... So Kurt Russell pulls an axe out of a wall, and you see how the axe gets there. Mm. And it's things like that, actually go back through. It's really clever.
Well, at least that's more thought. I kind of understand that more, because they obviously are real fans of the film going, right, okay, we'll go back and it's more thought of. But straight remakes, but there are a lot of, there's still a lot of really great original film. Like this year I watched The Invitation. It's a really good thriller. There's a lot of horror actually, and then Starry Eyes is a really good horror. If you've not seen it, it's on Netflix, and it's an ode to sort of the early 80s kind of horror films. It's all about Illuminati stuff and I love all that stuff. So I think there are movies out there if you want, and another film called The Guest, which I quite like. So there are, you just have to find them. That's all.
Yeah, I mean, no one's really spending a lot of money on blockbusters that are, you know, original ideas. It's really only Christopher Nolan.
Yeah.
Maybe James Cameron could make whatever he wanted, but you know, there's very limited number of filmmakers who just get carte blanche to do something original.
It's a thing. But it's there. Indie culture, music, art, and film, whatever, it's always existed. You just have to go and look for it. So speak to your friends and get off of Pokemon Go and actually get out there and actually find out stuff. But what have we got coming up next? Are we going to go into the trailers this week, or should we go straight to the good, the bad, and the ugly?
I think
next?
we'll do trailer trash, and then we'll thank Paul. Thank you so much for coming in.
No, thank you for having me.
And you can catch all the shows up in Edinburgh. I've lost your press releases.
Yes, you're in Edinburgh from August the 3rd.
Yes,
that's true.
Doing
the Mamorpica and Nightmare Live. There's a final Nightmare Live on the South Bank at the Adderbelly on Sunday at 7:45. If you can come along to that, do. We have something very, very special planned. No spoilers.
Oh, no!
Okay. No spoilers.
Okay.
If you miss it, you will regret it.
And when does this show go out, Adam? When are we?
It's going to go out. It's going out this week.
Oh, okay, cool. Yeah. So we'll be out before then. That's fine. Okay, cool.
It's like, you've already missed it.
And relax. But yeah, so you are on Twitter again as Pirate Moustache.
At Pirate Moustache, yeah.
And Nightmare Live as well. Please go to memorpicashow.com or nightmarelive.com. Thank you very much, Paul, for joining us.
Thanks very much for having me.
Thank you. Cheers. Okay.
Thanks.
Another day is here and I am still alive. I'll say these words aloud, they speak from the inside. And every time I see you, you just walk away. Still the world is turning. I wanna hear what you've got to say. I wanna hear what you've got to say. Wanna hear what you've got to say. I wanna hear what you've got to say. Hey, hey, hey.
High kick at the end. What was that?
That was the Subways. I want to hear what you got to say.
I'm not the biggest song. I'm not very familiar with the Subways, but yeah, it was all right.
It's good. It's time for this trailer trash.
I could listen to that song all day long. I just love it.
Don't.
So much.
Do you want to work in the Star Wars theme park then?
I would. You know, even if I had to dress up as a Wookiee, I totally would.
Figuring Dan and the Modal Node's biggest fan.
I kind of like, we were talking about this, the Disneyland Star Warsy park earlier. I was thinking, like, it'd be quite cool to have like a Wookiee land, just loads of guys dressed as Wookiees, just like training, doing stuff, working out. Well, I don't know.
I'm pretty know if you ask for directions.
Yeah, totally. Where are the toilets? That's almost like an Arnold Schwarzenegger impression. But anyway.
Yes, trailer trash. Only two trailers. Only two trailers.
Yes, because we've just missed Rogue One because it's going to be possibly later today in the
Yeah, I'll review it. It's really good. It's got a lot of starship. It's got Death Star and X-Wings in it. Probably Darth Vader as well.
Yeah.
That was Richard Edwards, biggest Star Wars fan ever.
This is fingers crossed. I hope it's really good.
I was thinking that on the train here. I was like, we should just say it's good.
Well, I mean, I'm very surprised. I mean, they've confirmed that Darth Vader is definitely in Rogue One, so I imagine he's going to be the last shot, and he's going to say something like, "Emperor, we're home," or something.
Or just hearing the, just like the kind of. So yeah, we can confirm it was good. It was a good trailer, so we're not trashing that one.
No,
it was good. I predict it will be fine. But let's go on to the ones we do. We've got two. We've got Westworld first.
First, I did not. I have not seen the original Westworld. So Westworld is a new HBO series which comes out, I think, in October-ish time.
It derives from the 1973 series.
It was a film. Yeah, it was a film, and it's about a theme park going wrong, and it's by Michael Crichton. Who, of course, wrote Jurassic Park, spotting a theme. The idea was you kind of went to this all total immersion experience, very much like what we were talking about earlier.
Yeah.
And that you had, but it was sort of run by robots. Mm. So you had Westworld, which is like a Wild West, and you had this gunslinger called, basically played by Yul Brynner, of course, from The Magnificent Seven, very iconic. And he went round, he went wrong and started killing people. And so that's the basic premise of it, and you know there's also a medieval world in it, but that's not as important.
But the new series is basically that, really. But
yes,
just though, revamped, new cast,
and a lot bigger. I think it's going to have more sort of themes because it's not a long film. I think it's only about an hour and a half anyway. Mm. So it's very much about this sort of idea and the sort of escape from this relentless robot killer. Whereas this is going to be all about, I guess, consciousness in robots, rather more like Humans on Channel 4.
That's what I was getting from that. It felt a little bit like Humans on Channel 4, which I loved, by the way.
That was brilliant.
Such a good show. I don't know if they're going to do a second
series.
They are doing a second series now, actually.
Oh,
brilliant.
Yeah, Jonathan Nolan's involved in this. He was one of the writers, one of the producers as well. He co-wrote this. I can't remember what the woman's name is, something Joy or her name was. And J.J. Abrams is a producer as well.
Mm.
Jonathan Nolan, obviously, it's Christopher Nolan's brother, and has collaborated on many a film.
He co-wrote
Memento.
Dark Knight. Did he write that Memento? Yeah, I think his idea, wasn't it?
It was his idea from a derived from a short story.
Yeah.
And he's a great writer. I mean, like it should be good. But he came out and said that he wants to turn the idea of the protagonist on its head. So you know, you've got these robot characters. It's more from almost their perspective, but everything's filtered. You know, you're seeing the story of these people being manipulated through this kind of strange AI type world. Mm. But the robots slowly are becoming sentient and thinking, oh no, wait a minute. We have feelings too. That's it in a nutshell, the simplest form. But it sounds like a really interesting premise, and I really want to see the original now. I want to see the original Westworld.
I mean, it's not an amazing film. It's pretty good. I mean, the thing you remember about it is this iconic image of, you know, Man in Black, Yul Brynner, you know, who did good cowboy, you know, and just saying nothing and just bang. That really is the thing. So this is going to be quite different, just because I think it's going to have so much more story, and obviously because it's on HBO, it will have sex, swearing, and
rock and roll.
Yeah,
it'll have boobs, and bum shots. But the trailer as well as the story looked brilliant. Looked really intriguing.
Good. Yeah, bit of Anthony Hopkins. You know, it's got an amazing cast.
Really. Is it Ed? What's his Ed Harris?
Oh, Ed Harris. He's the new Yul Brynner.
I love Ed Harris as well. I was watching The Abyss, actually, that's why I mentioned James Cameron's stuff earlier. And I love that film. I love Ed Harris, I think he's great, but the cast is amazing, as you said. And Westworld, thumbs up, I think.
I'm going to watch that when it comes out.
Thumbs up.
Yeah.
Stranger Things is on now on Netflix.
Yes, it comes out this weekend. So.
That's my weekend sorted.
I know. Well, I'm still trying to. I'm probably going to probably watch Mr. Robot. This weekend.
Oh, is that on as well?
That's
this weekend?
Only two episodes come out. It's every Thursday.
Well, I might save that up a little bit.
Yeah.
Because Fargo season two is on now, so I've got
which
that.
Which is brilliant.
I've not watched it yet. Yeah. I'm dying to see it.
But Stranger Things with Winona Ryder.
Yes, this is really interesting too, and it's from the makers of Wayward Pines.
Oh, is it?
Mm, the sort of duo behind Wayward Pines. I can't remember what their names are, but I read about that this morning and I was like, oh, it's good. I think it'll have. it won't be real. I don't think it's gonna be super, super, super serious and dark. I think it's gonna be fun and interesting.
I mean, the whole idea is very much an 80s. It's got an Amblin, Steven Spielberg vibe to it, and that's entirely what they were going for. You know, they're really going back to the stuff they grew up with. So, and you know, I've heard very, very good things about it, and I think the trailer looks good. You know, it's good to see Winona Ryder. You know,
back again.
Yeah. Yeah. Quite a different role now. She's going into the. I mean, obviously, with Spock's mum, but she wasn't really playing a real kind of mum role in Star Trek. And I think it's going to be.
This is her first TV role.
Yeah, I kind of think it's not even worth making a big thing of that now because everyone's doing TV. It's like Anthony Hopkins is doing TV.
Yeah, you know, it's
going to sort of. I think fairly soon it'll flip around and people go, "Oh God, you're doing a film."
Yeah, I think it's almost like if I was an actor, I'd prefer to do it because you're kind of it's regular work. Let's face it, and it's you know you're in the public consciousness and you're being seen in that episode like or that series like for how many episodes? Great. It can lead on to other things, but I think that now the quality of like things that are just you know Netflix shows for example are absolutely brilliant. Stranger Things looks really really interesting. Yeah, so Joe, what the premise is behind
so
it?
So the concept is Winona Ryder's son has gone missing, abducted by aliens we presume, but there's a girl that's come back. There's a girl that's appeared in sort of his place that knows sort of what's happened to the son. Not really much has said. Car flips up by using like just probably false mind tricks maybe I don't know but I think it looks really interesting. So it's sort of what's happened to the son, where is he, who's this girl that's come in his place, and I'm going to definitely be checking that out this weekend.
I mean, I think Netflix have been really good for telly because they've actually been very bold. You know, we don't know how successful a lot of their shows have been, but they're actually prepared to make things that probably no one else would have. Yeah, if you look at the Marvel shows they've done, would anyone have gone out and made Daredevil, you know, uber violent Daredevil, Jessica Jones?
True. I've got Luke Cage coming up.
So, you know, it's good that they've got someone out there who is shaking things up and who aren't necessarily playing by the same rules that everyone has done before, because you know network TV in America, it's quite a funny format in the sense that they all have to abide by certain rules and you're always sort of playing catch up to make sure you're not going to get cancelled or commissioned, you know.
And you've got like Amazon hot in the heel, well not hot in the heel, they make great
yeah,
shows.
Yeah, it's like that's where Mr. Robot was in Amazon Prime.
Man in the High Tower.
Man in the High Castle. That's coming out for a second season.
That's second series, yeah.
That's out in November, I think. Yeah. Sometime.
I watched a couple of the first season. I need to get back into it, actually, but I was really intrigued and I thought it was really good. I like the premise a lot as well, actually. But yeah, this very thin on the ground for trailers.
It was this month.
I think, yes, there will be a lot coming up very soon.
I think
Comic-Con will be a lot.
We'll have a lot to talk about in the next 3-4 weeks, I reckon. But yeah, you know, I say thumbs up for both of those. Yeah. Excellent.
I mean, what else have you been watching? Like, keeping on this Netflix and Amazon vibe, like, is there any other shows that you've been sort of watching that have caught you?
I have been... Well... Wayward Pines for me, so that's not Netflixy or anything, but I've kind of been caught. I just get into conspiracy theory documentaries. I just really really like them. I watched a really crap one last night, but I love it, about the moon landings, is it real, is it not real. But I quite, and then I've been getting into Kimmy Schmidt.
I like I wasn't sure
of that at first, and then I was really ill like a couple of months ago. And I just sat and watched 3 in a row, and I was like, oh, wait a minute. Like, and I got it.
I love 30 Rock as well. And it's Tina Fey is 30 Rock.
But she's
amazing.
Great. Her book's brilliant. Like, her book's amazing. What about you, Richard? What have you watched?
Well, I'm really looking forward to BoJack Horseman, which comes back next week.
Is that good?
Yeah. I mean, it's really odd. Okay. And it's properly dark. I mean, it's inside the dark places of a horse's soul.
That's
but it's just this really odd world. You know, it's... basically people and animals living side by side.
Amazing.
It doesn't really make a big thing of that, they just do. And you got Will Arnett as the voice of BoJack, who's this kind of star of an old 80s sitcom who's basically still living off being a star of this old 80s sitcom.
Job from Arrested Development.
Yes, that's right.
And voice of Batman in Lego Batman.
Yeah, and they get some really good guest voice actors in as well.
Because they had, what's his face from Breaking Bad, Jesse Pinkman?
Oh, he plays friend.
Yeah, he plays the sidekick, the best friend that lives on his sofa.
Yes.
Yeah, so I need to watch that as well. Actually, that's intrigued me.
And I did just watch... It's been on Netflix for a while, about, I think, a year, but a thing called Kung Fury.
That is great. Oh my god, you've seen it, yeah?
Yeah.
That is so good.
What is Kung Fury?
It's kind of
like a pastiche.
It's a spoof 80s thing.
Yeah.
It's about this guy who's a cop but gets imbued by the spirit of the ninja. and he basically travels back in time to kill Hitler, who is the Kung Fuhrer.
Yeah, it's so good. And David Hasselhoff did the theme tune.
Yes. And he has his partner. He's given a new partner in the police force, who's called Triceracop.
Yes.
And he is a Triceratops.
And the Kung Fury theme tune is in the system, because I put it in the system before. So we're going to have to play it now after this, if you get it linked up. Turbo Kid.
I've not seen that.
It's really good. A Canadian film that is, again, a pastiche to things like Mad Max and stuff, but it's just really sweet. It's got like a really sweet indie vibe. And what's his face from Total Recall, kind of bad corporate guy's henchman,
Michael Ironside.
That's it, Michael Ironside, and it's the bad guy. But if you like Mad Max and stuff like that, post-apocalyptic indie stuff, Turbo Kid and Kung Fury is a good show.
It's so authentic. It even gets little bits where the tracking goes.
It's like proper like 80s vibes. You'll love it. It's only 13 minutes long.
I'll have to check it out. Now, I've been watching Manhattan. That's really good. Manhattan is about the building of the atomic bomb in Los Alamos in the middle of New Mexico. Really, really good.
And that's Netflix, yeah?
No, Amazon Prime.
Amazon Prime. Manhattan. Okay, Manhattan, cool. That's something else to watch then. I've got many. I'm like Preacher, Outlander. Outcast.
There's Outcast and Outlander.
That's what I think. Oh, so many. I think we're just going to start with... what's it called? Stranger Things.
It's only 8 episodes.
Then we'll move on to Fargo season 2.
Which is only 10. So, you know, that's not...
And then there'll be something else to watch.
Yeah.
So this just gives me an excuse to stay at home. So that's fine by me.
So what is the message here? Hollywood, please stop making telly.
Yeah, please.
Stop.
So we just need give it a year, so we've got a bit of time to catch up.
It's too much.
How am I going to go out and catch Pokemon with all this good telly to watch?
Are you going to play Kung Fury?
Yeah, I've got it loaded up.
Yes, okay.
Right, we'll play that, and then we're going to come back and do the good, the bad, and the ugly.
Rise again!
I honestly don't know what to think of that song, Claire.
Don't think, just watch. That's all we're saying. Like, so that's like the recommendation of the month from Rich Edwards of SFX magazine, yeah. Right here.
So Rich, what have we actually got coming up in the next issue of SFX magazine?
Okay. Well, we didn't get a chance to talk about there's one that's on sale for another few days,
which is the Star Trek one,
which has a, it comes with a sci-fi quiz book. It's got Star Trek, it's got Ghostbusters, it's a really packed issue. Also, if you like Terry Pratchett, there's a lot of news about what's happening next from Discworld. And our next issue is out on Wednesday, Wednesday the 20th of July, and that's got a load of Suicide Squad, it's got some Star Wars fun. Yeah, it's another packed issue.
Nice. And where can we get the magazine online and offline?
Where can't you get it? No, all good.
It's everywhere.
All good news agents. You can get it at myfavouritemagazines.co.uk/SFX online, or you can get it on iTunes or Google Play, however you prefer.
Everywhere. And Twitter and Facebook.
At SFX Magazine for Twitter, and it's /SFX Magazine for Facebook.
Cool. Grab it now. I like the Star Trek feature in this month.
If
you are going to go see the film, please read the Star Trek feature.
Yes, get some revision in before the movie comes out.
It's quite
and
extensive.
Also the quiz book. You know, you've got 1,000 trivia questions.
I saw that.
We should have brought it in and tried to do some of it today.
I actually looked at him and was like, I didn't want to get sucked into that world. I was like, no. But it's a great issue. Great issue. So please go get it. July 20th?
The next one is out on Wednesday, July 20th.
Great.
Right.
Brilliant. So now it's time, because we're running out of time again, as always. It's time for the good, the bad, and the ugly. This is the part of the show where I have challenged Claire and Richard to come up with their best, their worst, and their guilty pleasure of a certain topic. Now, this week, as I've said before, Pokemon Go came back.
Is that your best?
That's my best. Let's get back. I'm gonna put that
out
there.
Let's start with you then. Okay.
But what I've suggested is the 90s nostalgia. But I've 80s and 90s nostalgia, because obviously I'm a 90s kid. I was born in 87, but I was like, most of my childhood is in the 90s, because I don't remember much of the 80s because I was only like 3.
I'm kind of both. So I was a wee kid in the 80s. Mm. But remember a lot, but then 90s as a teenager kind of thing. So I've got both things, which is fine.
And Richard, you've got a bit of both, or are you?
Yeah, I probably. It depends what kind of nostalgia you're looking for. I mean, I straddle both. I mean, I was a teen in the 90s, so.
Yeah. So, yeah, we're the oldies. This is the old side of the room. You can even have your Pokemon and your flipping Power Rangers or whatever else. But let's start with you, Adam, because you've been talking a lot about Pokemon. So, yes. I guess your best.
So, my best thing that I remember about the 90s was Pokemon. That's the TV show, collecting the cards, the little figures, everything just the aww. Games, the cartridges for the Game Boy Color.
So this, you're basically in your element with Pokemon.
Yeah, yeah, I love it.
Enjoy. And you start to see, like, it's funny because when you get to, I don't want to sound like an old fogey, but when I started to get into my late 20s, now into my 30s and stuff, I started to get really nostalgic for, like, I went back the way, like, Pokemon, like, for you, you're like, oh, yeah, Pokemon. Like, so I started to go back the way I watched all of the old X-Men cartoons. Mm. I watched all Dungeons & Dragons. I started to go back, and it's quite nice. It makes you feel warm and fuzzy inside.
It does a little bit, doesn't
yeah.
it?
Yeah. So that's your best.
That's my best.
You're Richard. What about you?
Okay, well, I think it was an era, like, great cartoons, because some of them were terrible, but I think it was where all writers who wanted to write sci-fi ended up. So you had, like, J. Michael Straczynski, who created Babylon 5, actually cut his teeth writing Jason the Wheel Warriors and He-Man episodes, you know. So this is where
Jason,
they got...
Jason the Wheel Warriors, yeah. With a really good theme tune
it
as
was.
Well.
They all had great theme tunes. They all knew how to do an opening sequence, like Thundercats, you know. And
yeah.
Apparently now they can't do theme tunes like that because the channel's telling them you can only do 15 seconds for the opening credits.
That's rubbish.
So, you know, they do Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles or Thundercats. They can't do the themes in the same way.
Because that's where you explain the origins
of
the show. Like the raccoons, for example.
Yeah.
which was, the theme was better than the cartoon.
And also, yeah, the cartoon bear, the credits bore very little relation to what happened in the show, really. But who cares, you know?
Yeah.
We were all sort of dragged in. Anyway, yeah, so that was a really long-winded way of saying. I'm going to go for sort of Ulysses 31 because, so first of all, it has an amazing theme tune.
Yes.
It's like a pretty epic theme tune.
Great, like, brilliant 80s prog rock, actually, throughout the whole cartoon.
Yeah.
And dark as well.
Really dark. And, you know, this is, if you want to do a crash course in Greek mythology, this is the place to go.
Hades.
The kingdom of Hades. Yeah. Mortals, you have defied the gods.
And those bodies floating in stasis.
Which is really creepy.
Very creepy.
Yeah.
And then the end when he kind of ascends up these stairs like he's going to heaven.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of symbolism in there, which is quite,
yeah. You know, this is a programme made for kids, right? You know,
yeah.
I mean, George Lucas probably had an issue with the lightsabers, but...
of course. And then they had the little red robot. So they had cute stuff for kids as well. Yeah. Little red robot, the little blue kid. That was... Rich has stolen mine. Damn. Right, okay. So I'm just going to say all 80s cartoons.
Oh, that's unfair.
Because I couldn't decide, because I love Ulysses. That was my favourite. And second to that would be Thundercats. Mm. I absolutely love Thundercats. But I love, like, Masks, Centurions, Visionaries. I even like the Gummy Bears and stuff like that. And Gem. Like, and I just love Gem so much. So I'm just going to say 80s cartoons. There's a lot of stinkers as well, but I'd say Ulysses, Thundercats, they were like the top, and Mask and stuff like that. And less so Transformers. Well, I did like that too. But yeah, just there's a feeling to them. I thought the music and everything, amazing. Yeah. So now, best worst.
The worst.
What's your worst?
The worst thing I remember about the 90s were Pogs.
Okay.
Oh my god, if you don't remember Pogs, they were like little discs, and you just like used to in the playground you used to stack them up, and you used to have this big one and you used to throw it on them. I guess I never really got it. It was like one of them fads, like it was Pogs, and then it went to yo-yos, and I was like,
oh yeah, yo-yos
were a fad in the
90s. I had a Pepsi one and Sprite one. Like, I used to try and do them too.
Could you do any tricks with it?
No,
like,
did
Cat's Cradle or the Eiffel Tower or whatever?
No, I've got no coordination whatsoever. You should see me driving. I literally would do that and it would spin at the bottom and then I'd be like, oh, and then just wind up again. I was really rubbish. I was really, really crap. But I quite like to the yo-yos. I like my Sprite one. Like, I quite enjoyed a yo-yo. But I wasn't aware of Pogs.
No, Pogs, they were just pointless.
Mm.
What about yours, Rich?
I don't know, trolls are pretty rubbish.
I love trolls. I had one from every corner of the world, and a Scottish one, an English one, a Welsh one.
Oh, yeah, okay. There's a new movie coming out, so I'll probably be proved wrong.
I said this to my husband the other day, and he went, what? He was like, they were shit, they were so weird.
There were so many of these little, it's like Sylvanian families. It's like, I mean, I wasn't probably target market, but they're just rubbish.
Yeah, they are a bit rubbish. And that was like an... The kind of like, so Sylvanian families of key keepers were another thing, that like big snails that you could open up and strange.
I mean, having a daughter of my own, it's very important that you don't kind of say that's a boy's toy and that's a girl's toy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, people choose the toys they want, but I always got the sense that toys that are nominally boys' toys were always seem much more fun.
Yeah, they were.
And they, much more imagination and you know, just people have made an effort to them, whereas, you know, oh, we'll just shove a bit of pink on it, and I think it's quite offensive, really.
Yeah, that's true.
And I think we'll just make something that's a bit cute.
There is less of that now, but there's still a lot of it.
I think there is. I mean, I hopefully that people have been called out on like with the Star Wars marketing, where they didn't put enough Rey in because they didn't think boys would buy it.
Yeah.
You know, hopefully stuff like that being called out will change it. So
My worst thing, I'm quite a nostalgic person anyway, so I just didn't really have anything that was a worst thing. So I'm just going to go straight to my guilty pleasure.
Oh, yeah.
The worst thing was one of those bouncy things, what, those big ball things that you bounce on.
Oh, the space hoppers.
Okay, so we'll just move past that quickly. Didn't like them.
No.
Next, I'll go to the guilty pleasure thing. I had an Atari when I was younger. and I really love this game. It's called The Adventures of Mad Dog Williams and the Dungeons of Durian, or Durdian, or whatever it's called. And it was just basically kind of, he had eight levels, and it was like an early 90s, 1992 it was released. You can download this online now. It's really fun, and it's like a text adventure slash role-playing game, so you type in the commands, and you solve mysteries, and I loved that game. Like, and I love my Atari. That was my... The Atari in general was my guilty pleasure. What about you, Adam?
My guilty pleasure, we're rapidly running out of time here, so I'll write through this quickly. It was Bucky O'Hare. Do you remember the that was that 90s or 80s? I can't remember.
90s.
That was 90s. Yeah. That was my guilty pleasure.
Good theme tune.
Those tones.
Yes. Yeah.
I like the... my brother had a lot of the figurines and stuff as well. They were really good.
Quite recently, went back to my mum's house to clear out her loft, and I found all my Bucky O'Hare toys. Aww. With the little ray guns. There was the I can never really remember all their names, but there was the duck with the eye patch. Brilliant.
And that reminds me of like Samurai Pizza Cats and stuff like that. There was Samurai Pizza Cats and Bucky O'Hare.
Oh yeah, I mean, there was an era, wasn't there, where they just put words together and made characters out. Yeah.
It's like they just got a bowl with like random words and went Samurai Pizza Cats!
With because I mean, Samurai Pizza Dogs would just not have worked.
No.
Yeah, that's true. Or a goldfish. So, what was your goldfish?
I'm going to say VHS. because, I mean, I wouldn't watch anything on VHS now, given the choice. But, you know, you had the sort of excitement of going to the video shop. Well, also, just stuff you taped off the telly. Because there's still films now where I watch The Empire Strikes Back and think, that's where there will be an advert for Scotch videotapes with a skeleton in it, because I watched it so many times, because that's where I first recorded it. So, yeah, just that.
Oh, I love taping live TV. God, I used to love that. I had like all the I used to like tape all of the Friends episodes, thinking if I don't tape them, they won't be on TV again. How wrong was I?
No.
They will be on TV until the end of time. When everything's dead, that will still be on TV. I think that's the end of the show, God.
Yes, it is. Thank you very much, Richard. I hope you have fun at the Star Wars celebration tonight.
Remember, SFX, the next issue is out on July 20th.
That's right, yes.
And please follow SFX Magazine online as well on Twitter and Facebook.
You can follow me at adamantium128, and also tweet me if you're playing Pokemon Go, because I want to see what you're up to, because I really love this game. I don't want to be the only one that's liking it, please.
Don't tweet me if you're playing Pokemon Go. I'll just berate you. I'm WeClaire on Twitter, where you just go to WeClaire.com for all my nonsense. And Richard?
I'm at RichDEdwards on Twitter.
Great. Right.
So that's the end of the show. See you guys very soon.
Cool, thank you. Bye.
Crosses on wooden.